Heroes, Chapter 1, Genesis.
Where does it come from, this quest? This need to solve life's mysteries when the simplest of questions can never be answered. Why are we here? What is the soul? Why do we dream? Perhaps we'd be better off not looking at all. Not delving, not yearning. That's not human nature. Not the human heart. That is not why we are here.
A young man standing on the flat roof of a tall building slowly topples forward and falls towards the ground, then flying above city blocks. The young man wakes with a start in a chair at someone's bedside.
How's he doing? I'm sorry, did I scare you?
No. No, I just keep having these amazing dreams every time I close my eyes. And never mind. He likes me to read him the stock page.
Has he been conscious at all?
No. Been a week now. I think he's close. A couple more days, maybe.
You know, I don't know what he'd do without you. You got a real gift.
Just do my job.
No, you're like a son to him.
Yeah, then that would make us like brother and sister. Might be a little awkward if I ever wanted to ask you out. I'm sorry. That was inappropriate.
No, it's sweet. I'm dating somebody. And...
Yeah, no, really, it's okay.
The young man is wearing scrubs.
I need to change his IV.
I'm sorry.
No.
Of course.
Man is a narcissistic species by nature. We have colonized the four corners of our tiny planet. But we are not the pinnacle of so-called evolution. That honor belongs to the lowly cockroach, capable of living for months without food, remaining alive headless for weeks at a time, resistant to radiation. If God has indeed created himself in his own image, then I submit to you that God is a cockroach.
Madras, India, 3 days ago.
They say that man uses only a tenth of his brain power. Another percent, and we might actually be worthy of God's image. Unless, of course, that day has already arrived. The Human Genome Project has discovered that tiny variations in man's genetic code are taking place at increasingly rapid rates. Teleportation, levitation, tissue regeneration. Is this outside the realm of possibility? Or is man entering a new gateway to evolution? Is he finally standing at the threshold to true human potential? I'm sorry, I'm out of time.
Students rise from their desks and file out of the room.
I know, I'm beginning to sound like my father. I can't help it. You know, they can fire me too if they like. But there is something to it, Nirad. As crazy as it sounds. What is it?
It's your father. He's dead.
How?
Driving a taxi in New York City is a very dangerous job. The wrong fare, the wrong time. We may never know what really happened.
No, I spoke to him 2 days ago. He was convinced someone was following him, trying to steal his research. He died because of his theories.
That's crazy.
Is it?
The man left his family, discredited his career to chase wild theories halfway around the world. Where are you going?
To his apartment, to get his papers, his research. He was this close to finding the first of them, his patient zero.
He tracked him to Queens, New York.
Mohinder, listen to me. Your father was my colleague and my friend. A respected professor, a brilliant geneticist, but he had clearly lost touch with reality.
I followed in his footsteps. My thesis is based on his research.
Yes, you always wanted his approval.
And now you were telling me that it was all for nothing.
I'm telling you to let go.
I need to know why he died. I need to know that it wasn't all for nothing. And then I need to finish what he started.
Mohinder steps off a balcony into a large apartment. The lights are off and the windows partially blocked by thick curtains. He takes a cassette tape from a box. The word teleportation is written on the spine. Then he picks up a photograph of himself at graduation, posing happily with an older man. He crosses to a world map dotted with pins, unaware of someone standing in the adjoining room.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in his place now. No. He left everything behind but his computer. Research, the map. Yeah, let's get a team in here to bag and tag everything. I'm gonna call you right back.
Mohinder has taken a photo of the map, and his flash has alerted the man to his presence. Mohinder quickly removes a pin from New York City and hurries out. The man steps into the room and slowly puts on a pair of glasses. Las Vegas, Nevada. A young, scantily clad blonde woman is moving seductively on a bed. A camcorder on a tripod is filming her. She gives the camera a steamy look, then slowly starts to pull up her white blouse, revealing her flat stomach and the top of her black lace panties. Now she sits with her back to the camera and peels off her bra. An alarm begins to sound on a laptop she's using to broadcast her images. A message reads, "A little more, please," and she types a response which reads, "It'll cost you another $39. The reply is, "Bitch."
Pervert.
She turns the computer off and strides across the room wearing a plain pink dressing gown. She passes a mirror, but then steps back looking puzzled. Nikki looks at her reflection, then walks out of the darkened room.
Time to get up, Micah! Micah!
She goes into a bedroom with the window open.
Micah!
Her reflection Micah! In the mirror stays longer than she Micah! Does.
What?
Damn, Micah, don't do that to me.
Do what?
Just you need to be careful. All right?
I'm just working on my computer. The logic board was bad, so I had to build a new one.
A new one? Did anyone ever tell you you're the smartest little man on the planet?
You do, all the time.
What's this?
It's a pinhole camera. It's for the eclipse. The moon's gonna cover up the sun today. We're supposed to look at it at school.
Speaking of which, you need to go get ready. You can't be late. Go grab your stuff and wait by the back door, okay?
Why?
Just do it.
Nikki spies on two sinister figures at her front door.
Mom, what's going on?
Never mind, just keep your voice down and stay close to me.
They step over a wall and race off in her rundown car. The door gets kicked in and two heavies with goatee beards and moustaches step in. In Odessa, Texas, someone is recording a girl in a cheerleader's outfit running up the steps of a rusty metal structure.
Camera ready?
Yeah, almost. Hold on. This looks like 70, 80 feet. This is so unreal.
Okay, I'm good.
Okay. Oh my God. Oh my God. Claire?
The cameraman runs over to the girl, who's thrown herself off the structure.
Claire!
The girl gets up off the ground and pulls a dislocated shoulder back into place. Then she looks directly into the camera.
This is Claire Bennett. That was attempt number 6.
The male nurse, Peter, is once again standing on a flat roof. He falls forward and starts plummeting to Earth. Now flying above New York City. At the Chrysler Building, the viewpoint changes to a rapid descent. As Peter falls, a man looks up at him and smiles. Peter wakes up in the back of a cab. A bus pulls up alongside, bearing a political campaign poster for the man he saw in his dream.
You get out here, yes?
The man, Nathan Petrelli, is on the phone.
Mr. Linden, I'm gonna have to call you back in 5 minutes, okay? Thank you. I'm late. I've got a fundraiser and a drinks meeting.
Happened two more times. Look, sometimes I'm falling, sometimes I'm flying, but sometimes you're in them.
I don't have time for this now.
They're not just dreams, Nathan.
Hold this.
I thought they'd go away, but they're not.
Jim, I need this back by 6, please.
This morning, when I got out of bed, my foot hovered before it hit the ground. Hovered for a split second, like I was floating. I'm telling you, I think I can fly.
He's all undecided? Mm-hmm. Tell you what, you think you can fly? Why don't you jump off the Brooklyn Bridge? See what happens.
Maybe I had to start with something a little lower first. It's like learning to walk.
You're serious?
Oh, I'm serious.
You need to snap out of it, Peter. See a doctor. Get some drugs. But do not pull a Roger Clinton on me, man. I'm 8 points down in the polls.
But this isn't about you, all right? But something is happening to me, and I have this feeling that you're the only person that's gonna understand this.
Why the hell would I understand that you think you can fly?
Because you're my brother.
Mom, I can't talk.
What?
I'll be there in 10 minutes.
What's she doing now?
She got arrested.
Arrested for what?
Shoplifting.
I'm so depressed.
What? What are you talking about? Why? I mean, besides the fact that it was so gross, I almost fudged myself. This is the single coolest thing to happen to this town in like 100 years.
Not if nobody finds out, it's not.
Why'd you want me to tape it?
I have my reasons.
It's not like you're not gonna be popular anymore.
Popular? Who said anything about being popular? My life as I know it is over, okay? I've got the Bishop game next week, SATs in October, homecoming's 3 weeks from today, and I'm a freak show.
You're being a little dramatic, don't you think?
No, I don't think. I have busted like every bone in my body, stabbed myself in the chest, I've shoved a 2-foot steel rod through my neck, and I don't have a scratch on me.
What do you call that thing sticking out?
Great.
She pushes some ribs back into her body.
Just give me the tape, okay?
She impatiently clicks her bloodied fingers, and Zach hands over the videotape as quickly as possible.
Hey, I can give you a ride on my handlebars if you want.
Look, thanks, okay? I'll talk to you in front of people at school tomorrow. Promise.
She walks away. Tokyo, Japan. A man wearing glasses has a blue-scaled, large-toothed anime monster on his computer screen. He's staring intently at a clock ticking on his desk. He looks round cautiously, then concentrates on the clock again, then closes his eyes and draws a breath. His eyes flash open and he stares at the clock hard. His face muscles quiver with the effort he's putting in. Clock's second hand stops and goes back a second. The man runs down a uniform line of cubicles shouting, "I did it," at the top of his voice, and stops by a colleague's desk. What now?
I've broken the space-time continuum.
Good for you.
My clock. I made it go back 1 second using only my mind, my thoughts.
Too bad you're not paid by the hour.
I'm serious. This explains the subway this morning.
It was 14 seconds late. Big deal.
The train is never late.
Until you made it late using only your mind.
Yes. I have discovered powers beyond any mere mortal.
Right. You and Spock.
Yes, like Spock. Exactly.
As his time-stopping friend is marched off by a superior, his friend calls out, "Use your death grip, Spock," after him. Then he turns to his computer, which is logged into Nikki's website. Micah is reading a comic book with the blue-scaled monster on the cover.
Your son is a very intelligent boy. Gifted, actually. That's not the issue.
His father's not around, and sometimes I think he could use a bit of a stronger hand, you know? I work nights a lot, but we can both work harder.
It's not about the work. The truth is, I just don't know if this school is the right fit for him.
But he's made friends.
I'm sorry.
He's on the soccer team.
I'm sorry.
I wrote a check for $25,000 to get him into the snob fest. I was told that's what it took. That's on top of the tuition.
About the tuition, your last three checks have bounced.
Fine, take it out of the 25 grand that I gave you.
That was a donation, and it was very appreciated.
Well, I want my money back. I want my money back. Now.
That money went to the capital campaign for the new wing. It's already been spent.
Then unspend it.
I'm sorry. We can maybe discuss an extension of the money that you owe, but I don't...
I want my money back.
That's not possible.
Come on, baby, let's get out of here. I'm too good for this lousy school.
Nikki's reflection in a fish tank gives her a challenging look.
Mom?
Leave me alone.
The Petrelli brothers join a woman sitting in an interview room.
Charges. I have to fill out a form. No big deal.
No big deal? I'm running for Congress. Do you have any idea what this is going to do to me if it gets out with our family's past? What could you possibly need so bad that you had to steal it? Never mind. I don't want to know.
Socks.
Socks. Dad left you a fortune. What are you thinking? You know, it's been one ridiculous stunt after another with you for the last 6 months. Dad's gone. Just get over it.
You know what? Leave her alone. She's okay. That's all that matters.
I gotta get this out of the press.
You know what? Just get out of here. Go worry about your image. I'll handle this.
Yeah. Good. I gotta make sure this stays buried. Thanks a lot, Mom.
Peter squats down beside his mother.
What were you thinking?
I just wanted to feel alive again.
Micah.
I hate it here. It doesn't even have any books to read.
Baby, I'll be right back. I'm just gonna go and pack up a few things.
We should really go see Dad.
What would that do?
He could help. He should know that someone's trying to hurt us.
Your dad's not in any position to help us right now. Look, I made some mistakes. I admit it.
Mom, what'd you do?
Hey, I need you to know that I would never let anything happen to you. I promise.
Mom, why'd you look at yourself like that in the fish tank?
A red-haired woman opens her front door and sighs when she sees Nikki and Micah.
How long?
Just a couple of hours, tops.
There's some ice cream in the fridge.
Go ahead.
What happened?
I went to see Linderman.
How much?
30.
You gambling again?
No, it's just bills. I use the rest to get Micah into private school. I don't know what to do with him at public, and just I need them to think that we had money.
From the mob? Hell, Nikki. You weren't born yesterday.
It's just 2 weeks overdue. I mean, I thought that I could handle it, okay? Just I'm under a lot of stress right
now,
okay?
Gee, I wonder why.
I'm seeing things.
Like?
Like, I keep feeling like someone's watching me.
Yeah. Linderman wants his money back, so he sends a mouth breather that's gonna put you in the hospital.
It is someone else. Someone that I can't see. Does this make any sense to you?
No.
I'm sorry, you know what?
But I'll tell you what does.
I shouldn't be telling you
no,
this.
No, let me tell you what does make sense. Mm-hmm. You need to come up with that 30 grand plus interest now. Or you gotta run.
Watch him.
Firefighters are battling to put out a burning, derailed train. Claire walks up to the police line that's been set up, and Zach joins her.
Cool, huh?
How hot do you think it is in there? Turn on the camera.
Zach records as Claire ducks under the line and makes her way towards the wreck. Smoke billows around her, momentarily obscuring her from view. Plumes of fire shoot out from gas pipes as she heads into a burning goods carriage. She notices movement in the corner. An injured man has been trapped by the flames and intense heat. She goes over and helps him out of the carriage. A firefighter notices them.
Scotty! Scotty! Come on!
Claire's arm is on fire. The firefighter wraps a thick coat around her.
Take it easy.
I'm okay.
You're all right.
I'm fine.
He rips open her sleeve.
No burns.
Claire looks up at the stunned firefighter. While the injured man is tended to, she takes the opportunity to slip away and run off down a path.
Yeah, I was real sorry to hear about your father. He seemed like a good guy.
Man, I thought I was a slob.
They were here too.
What?
Nothing.
I got a guy who can clean this up for $100.
No, it's all right. I'll take it as it is.
We rent by the week. I'm gonna need to know you can afford it.
I have a job.
Doing what?
Driving a taxi.
I'll get you an application.
Mohinder is in a messy apartment in Brooklyn. He stamps on a cockroach scurrying across the floor, then turns to a world map on the wall. In an artist's studio, an agitated man grabs a tin of paint and prizes off the lid.
Nathan Petrelli. He served his country in Bosnia.
He smears the contents over a painting on a canvas.
What, the silent treatment? Oh, boy. Isaac, what are you doing? What the hell is wrong with you? Isaac! Okay, stop. What are you, crazy?
Clearly. I don't even remember painting these. I was high, okay? I lied to you.
Damn it.
I've been chasing for months.
Well, then get yourself back into a program and make it stick this time. These are fantastic.
No, they're evil.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You see this? Suicide bombing in Israel. I painted it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so?
So? That's this morning's paper. Look at the number on the bus. This happened yesterday. Yesterday. Something's wrong with me.
We'll get you help, Isaac.
I tried that twice. There's only one way left.
You can't go cold turkey. Not alone. I mean, let me help you, please.
No!
I love you.
I'll drag you down with me. I swear to God, I will. Just leave me alone. Get out of here!
The woman, Simone, is the daughter of the man Peter has been looking after. Isaac's attention is drawn to a television screen. His eyes move across to a painting depicting the train derailment and fire in great detail. Peter's making his way along a pavement. He spots Simone on the other side of the road with her arm out, trying to hail a cab. She seems distracted. Peter watches her thoughtfully, then puts on a pair of dark glasses and signals for a taxi himself.
Hey, corner of a center and canal, please.
The cab's being driven by Mohinder. Peter looks up through the back window and sees the eclipse taking place.
Wow.
Solar eclipse?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if it's gonna be total.
Not here, no. Some other part of the world, yes. A global event. Makes one appreciate just how small our planet really is. And we're all quite small, really, aren't we?
What's your name?
Mohinder.
I'm Peter. Let me ask you something, Mohinder. Do you ever get the feeling like you were meant to do something extraordinary?
Driving a cab, you may have noticed.
No, I'm not talking about what you do. I'm talking about who you are. I'm talking about being special.
Zach's running after Claire with his bike along the train tracks.
Hey,
the Japanese man, Hiro Nakamura, is taking part in a regimented exercise class on the roof of his office building. everyone still in their suits. He stops in the middle of the routine and gazes up at the sky. Nikki cautiously enters her house. She goes into the living room, which has been torn apart by the thugs who broke in. Mohinder looks at Peter in his rearview mirror. Peter's staring up through the tinted back window of the cab. Claire is gazing at the skies, also watching the solar eclipse, as is Hero. Darkness falls over him and his colleagues. Isaac is staring intently at a hypodermic and other drugs paraphernalia. He brings his knees to his chest, leaning back against his studio wall. Nikki picks up Micah's pinhole camera and watches the eclipse through it. A shadowy figure moves in the kitchen behind her. She hears them opening a pack of biscuits and whips her head round. She makes a run for it, but while the bigger man from earlier eats biscuits, his companion grabs her by the back of the neck.
Welcome home.
He pushes her into the garage she's converted into the seedy bedroom for her internet strips.
Get over there. 50 grand is a lot of money.
50. It was 30, even with interest.
Mr. Lindemann wants to be nice about this. You should have read the fine print.
Look, I have a son. Well, he's got.
I tell you what I'm gonna do. You make what? 40 bucks for every 20 minutes you take off your clothes? Well, I'm gonna give you a chance to lower your debt a little and see where it goes from there. Come on. Come on, show me what you got.
The other thug acts as cameraman. Nikki angrily takes off her cardigan and tosses it aside, then begins to unbutton her camisole top.
Lift up your shirt, baby. Look at that belly.
Nikki spots herself in a mirror.
What's the matter, baby? We just gotta get good here. I said, what's the matter?
He slaps her.
Screw you.
Screw me?
He knocks her out with a punch. Hero and his friend are in an underground station.
The yogis in India and the aborigines in Australia both can bend time and space.
Fine, I'll humor you. Say you really do have this power. What do you do with it? Join the circus? No one has ever got laid by stopping the second hand of a clock.
As I develop my powers, I learn to bend space too. And I can teleport myself anywhere on the planet.
Like Star Trek.
Yeah, like Star Trek. Every hero must learn his purpose. Then he'll be tested and called to greatness.
A nightclub. Where did you learn all this?
X-Men number 143, when Kitty Pryde time travels.
A comic book?
Every 10-year-old wishes he had superpowers, and I got them. Me, of all people. I'm not a loser anymore.
Tell me one useful thing you could do with this power. Can you make money?
A superhero doesn't use his power for personal gain.
Then what good is it? Can you teleport yourself into the woman's bathroom?
I could teleport myself into the woman's bathroom.
Great, then do it. I'll grab two more beers.
I'm going to teleport.
Looking over at the entrance to the woman's bathroom, Hero inhales deeply and closes his eyes. Nikki's lying on her bed. Nikki looks with confusion around the garage. It's a complete mess, and she's startled to see the bloody bodies of the two thugs lying near the bed. The leader has a sharp object jutting from his neck. Seeing the camera still on its tripod, Nikki removes it before catching sight of her own reflection in a shattered mirror. She watches astonished as the image holds a finger up to its lips and smiles.
Hello.
Peter, it's me.
Hey, Simone.
Are you busy?
No, I was, just heading home.
Listen, I need you to meet me at my dad's.
Yeah, no, I can be there in 10 minutes.
Okay, just hurry, okay?
Yeah, okay, I'll see you then. Bye. No, I'll hop out here, please. Thanks.
Mohinder watches Peter get out of his cab and head off down the road. Another person gets into the back of the cab.
Where to, my friend?
JFK, please.
Mohinder drives off.
Going home to my family. These business trips are wearing me out. Suresh, huh?
I'm sorry?
Your name. And your license there. That's Indian, yes? I was a professor, Suresh, at the University of Madras. Geneticist, interesting theories. Don't think he's teaching anymore. But you wouldn't know anything about that, would you? Probably lots of Suresh's where you're from. Like Smith or Anderson.
A pedestrian throws themselves out of the way as Mohinder sends the cab down a side road and brakes to a halt. Mohinder leaps out and runs off down an adjoining alley. His middle-aged passenger is the person from the apartment, a dark-haired man wearing glasses. In the nightclub.
Hold on! I'm not a peeping Tom!
Heroes ejected from the club.
Did you see me? I did it! I was in the women's bathroom!
Great, now you're a pervert.
I teleported myself!
Enough! You can't break the space-time continuum.
Fine, don't believe me.
There are 12 and a half million people in this city. Not one of them can bend space and time. Why do you want to be different?
Why do you want to be the same?
Because that's what I am, the same.
It's what we all are. Homogeneous. Yogurt.
Yogurt?
You don't understand. I want to be special.
We are not special. We are Japanese.
Fine. Stay here. Be just like everyone else. I want to boldly go where no man has gone before.
That's right. You're special. You're a superhero.
What are you looking for?
Morphine.
What for?
I need you to come with me someplace.
Where?
You'll see.
Look, there's something I need to tell you.
That is gonna have to wait.
No, look, I need to tell you about this. I need to stop living for other people. My whole life, I've no idea what I'm supposed to do, what I'm supposed to be, even have a destiny of my own.
I promise you we will talk about this later, okay? But right now, I really need you to come with me. You're a nurse. You can give out a shot. You can help.
Help who?
Thought we could go to the movies this Saturday. Maybe try on some shoes at the new mall in Gardendale.
Sure. I love you, Mom.
But?
No, Vats, I just wanted to tell you that.
No, you think I'm trying to be your best friend again. Admit it.
No, it's all right. We can go to the movies together. It's no big deal.
I just miss you. That's all. I want to be your mom. I want to give you advice, but I don't want to push you away.
I want advice. I do. I won't push you away, I promise.
To retrieve a ring, Claire thrusts her hand into the waste disposal.
I just don't think you should be so worried about fitting in all the time. About being so popular. I don't want to see you make mistakes like I did. I wanted to be someone more interesting than I am.
You are interesting. You breed show dogs. Whose mom does that?
No, I wanted to hitchhike across Europe, study art, fall in love with some poetry quoting Frenchman. Not that your dad isn't wonderful, but my point is, you should know who you are and know that it's enough. Because who you are is special.
Claire's mum hugs her, allowing Claire to surreptitiously examine the ring she's holding in her miraculously healed hand.
Oh.
Your father.
Hey, honey.
Back, Mr. Moses. No!
To a small dog.
Glad you're home.
Such a headache, I slammed my head getting out of a taxi cab.
Hi, Daddy.
Hey, baby.
Claire hugs the man that was in Mohinder's cab. Hero looks a million miles away as he stands with other passengers in an underground train carriage. A digital clock mounted on the roof of the carriage reads 11:43 as Hero's eyes wander over to a poster promoting New York City. Hero's eyes close, and almost immediately the minute numerals on the clock begin ticking by quickly. He concentrates hard, and the numbers speed up until the hour numerals are passing by quickly. Suddenly, they stop reading 1 a.m. Hero's bored, tired expression disappears as he realizes that he's standing in daylight in the middle of Times Square, New York. He looks around with a mixture of amazement and delight.
Yatta! Hello, New York!
I'm just saying it's impossible, okay? Nobody can predict the future.
I saw it with my own eyes, Peter. Isaac! I brought someone here to help. He's a nurse. Isaac! Isaac!
As Simone searches the darkened studio, Peter turns on a torch and discovers Isaac lying on the floor.
Isaac!
Simone!
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Isaac?
He's alive. Call 911.
Yes. What have you done? God, he's overdosed. Yeah, I'm at 215. Reed Street, number 7. I need an ambulance here immediately. He's OD. No, he's conscious. Just barely. I know. Listen, could you just come? Get here soon, please. Okay, baby, it's okay.
Peter's staring at a painting of a man calmly falling from a rooftop. The painted figure bears a passing resemblance to himself. Isaac stirs.
We have to stop it.
On the floor, a painting of a mushroom cloud over New York. Now a bird's eye view of the real Manhattan skyline.
This quest, this need to solve life's mysteries. In the end, what does it matter when the human heart can only find meaning in the smallest of moments? They're here, among us, in the shadows. In the light, everywhere. Do they even know yet?
From Peter standing on the edge of a tall building to Nathan on the phone as he gets out of a yellow cab in a city back alley.
All right, I'm here. Now what do you want? Peter?
A mobile phone shatters on the ground next to him.
I've been up here all night, thinking about this, thinking about my destiny. But you know what, Pete? It's my turn to be somebody now, Nathan! Come on, Peter, quit screwing around!
Peter's eyes look skyward as he shifts his feet slightly on the ledge he's standing on. The drop below him is many stories. Slowly, he raises his arms, breathing deeply. He closes his eyes and, in slow motion, tips over into the abyss. Nathan watches as his brother plunges downwards. A figure suddenly flies towards Peter and grabs him.
Peter!
Nathan's holding Peter's arm as they spin through the air.
You're flying, Nathan! You're flying! How did you...
I don't know.
Peter loses his grip. To be continued.